in complete dependence, dear friends, upon our Lord, to speak to us through the truth of his holy and sacred word. I would ask your prayerful attention by way of text to Paul's epistle to the Romans, and a verse we find in chapter 15, that is verse 4. Paul's epistle to the Romans, chapter 15, and verse 4. For whatsoever things were written aforetime were written for our learning, that we, through patience and comfort of the Scriptures, might have hope. For whatsoever things were written aforetime were written for our learning, that we, through patience and comfort of the Scriptures, might have hope. Dear friends, what thanksgiving we should have in our hearts that there is such thing as the Scriptures, the writings of the Word of God for our instruction. They testify of God, the one God, the living God, a God who changes not, the eternal God. And dear friends, if there's no belief in God, then such are fools. For the fool hath said in his heart, there is no God. The evidence is all around us in his glorious creation. From the macro side, as we might call, of the universe, where everything is under control and ordered, to the minutest micro aspects of life, or in our own selves, in the construction and of our bodies, and that of the minutest creatures, and oh, the dependence of one a creature upon another. It all had to be made at the beginning. And in the beginning God made us male and female. Dear friends, there is no excuse for unbelief in God. And the Holy Scriptures are written by those who were influenced by the Spirit of God. The Godhead of the Father, the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Dear friends, the influence upon one and another throughout the times in which they were written. They testify of the holiness of God, the majesty of God, the judgment of God, the love of God, the mercy and the grace of God, and that we all have need to be taught of God, taught by the Spirit, of the salvation of our souls, which is through God. Otherwise we die in our sins. And that all things upon this earth are ordered in accordance with the will and purpose of God. Nothing happens by chance. Everything is ordained, everything is permitted in accordance with the will of God. And he that hath begun the creation of the world will one day finish it. It's here for a purpose. And dear friends, that purpose, as we read in the Holy Scriptures, the purpose is the destruction of sin, of evil, of Satan. Satan himself, the author of sin and the father of lies. Oh, what a great mystery. The power of evil, Satan. Ever against, contrary to Almighty God, the Holy God. The mystery we read of in one place, of the devil, as he's called, and the angels cast out of heaven, the presence of God, and cast down and came down into this earth which God had created. Oh, God created everything pure, holy, perfect, without sin, until Satan came. And he deceived Eve, then Adam. And so the word of God was disobeyed, the commandment was broken. And before God, who cannot, in his holiness, accept any taint of sin, the sentence, the judgment for that disobedience was death. The soul that sinneth, it shall die. Dear friends, so this earth is in a solemn state, isn't it? Through Satan. And God said in those Garden of Eden, said to Satan, "Oh, that the seed of the woman shall bruise thy head." In other words, thy power shall be destroyed through that which I shall bring to come to pass. The seed of the woman, the son of a woman. It wouldn't be of the seed of man, Adam, who was now in sin, and all that is of his natural natural prosperity in this earth, in the generation of further children. They are all born in sin, as he is a sinner. But the seed of the woman, all that son of the woman would be conceived by the Holy Ghost, would be wholly pure, and be called the Son of God, the Son of God. Now, dear friends, we read so much from beginning to ending in the Scriptures of the determination of Satan to overturn the Word of God. Right from the beginning, right to the end. Dear friends, even today, oh, Satan is still a power of evil. Still permitted to have influence upon this earth. But oh, thanks be to God, that power is overcome. And dear friends, when our lives today ourselves, how we need teaching, how we need teaching that he is a defeated foe, for he will attempt to affect the hearts and the minds of all that God hath created, creatures such as you and me, even those who believe in God, believe in Jesus Christ. Oh, Satan walketh about like a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour. And dear friends, we need a sweet assurance, don't we? That he who is much stronger than we, Satan, oh, what a deceiver he is. Dear friends, we are no better than Adam and Eve, so ready to be deceived and tempted to depart from the commands and the word of God. And so we can easily fall into unbelief. How we need, oh, the sweet assurance and the comfort of that which is recorded in the holy word of God concerning the work of God that overcomes the power of Satan. For whatsoever things were written aforetime were written for our learning, that we, through patience and comfort of the Scripture, might have hope. Hope, dear friends, that is of eternal life. Hope that we shall not be condemned in that judgment day to outer darkness, to that dreadful place where Satan himself shall be thrown and cast, and forever suffer torment. Whatsoever things were written aforetime were written for our learning. Dear friends, what things have been written aforetime? Well, in the days of Paul, who wrote to the Romans, the things that were written were the Old Testament. They were the Scriptures. We have to thank the Lord that we have the New Testament, concerning the coming of Jesus Christ who was promised. Now, dear friends, what we find throughout the Scripture is evidences of Satan's determination to overturn the Word of God, that he would be destroyed. Oh, that power of evil, the power of lies. Dear friends, that dreadful state of wickedness that has entered into this world, and Satan seeks to rule this world and have all that is born in this world to be with him forever in that dreadful place of judgment. But dear friends, the Lord is faithful that hath promised. The Lord is almighty. Satan is mighty. God is almighty. And we have these evidences. Oh, in the Scripture, where Satan has attempted to overturn the power of God, but he has failed. He has been the one who was overcome. And dear friends, that's what we need to know today, isn't it? Where we are tempted, when we are trying to go the way of evil and sin, and all that evil heart we have within us, and Satan knows our faults, our failings, our weaknesses, and he will endeavour to cause us to fall into unbelief, doubts and fears. But dear friends, God is almighty. He that hath begun a good work in you, he will perform it unto the day of Jesus Christ. That's the judgment day, when Christ shall come again, the day of the Lord. Oh, we need to be kept from Satan's power. We cannot keep ourselves. We have not the power to keep ourselves. We have not the power to save ourselves. Our dependence, dear friends, is upon the grace, the love and the mercy of God through the gift of his Son, who has paid the price for all sin, the sins of his people. Oh, God said to Satan, the seed of the woman shall bruise thy head. And dear friends, we have evidences in the Old Testament where Satan sought to overturn that. Well, I suppose initially his rule within the hearts of Adam's race. Dear friends, we read that only sin increased more and more, that up to the days of Noah, the thoughts of the hearts of man was only evil in the sight of God. Oh yes, they married, they gave themselves in marriage, and they were increasing in number. But the multitude of iniquities increased also. Oh, that God said it, he repented of creating man upon this earth. I will destroy them from the face of the earth. Dear friend, let us not undermine the power of Satan ruling in the hearts of mankind, such as you and me. He is a mighty foe, stirring up that wrath of God for sin to be exercised upon the sinners. There was only one thing, dear friends, that maintained that word of God to say the seed of the woman would come. And that was by grace of God. Noah found grace in the eyes of God. He became a believer in God. It was accounted unto him for righteousness. The Spirit of God was upon him. And he obeyed the word of God. He was a preacher of righteousness. Dear friends, he built that which was in accordance with the word of God to him. The great ark, which for the saving of the life of many, not only mankind, himself and his family, but for other creatures also of God's creation. And what a type that was. A type of Christ, in which those who enter in and believe in him and trust in him are saved from the wrath of God which was poured out at that time. And the things of this earth perished. But dear friends, not completely. Oh, that grace of God. That work of Christ who bore the wrath of God there in the form of that ark. And all those that were in Christ, dear friends, were saved. What a type that was, wasn't it? Oh, Satan sought to destroy this earth through his influence in the hearts of mankind over with sin. But the grace of God. Oh, where sin abounds, his grace doth much more abound. Let us never remember. Let us always remember that. And I will be gracious to whom I will be gracious. I will show mercy to whom I will show mercy. But dear friend, Satan, oh, he's a mighty foe. He still sought to overturn the word of God. God chose, didn't he, Abraham and Isaac and Jacob. The promise to them was that in their seed should all the nations of the earth be blessed. Friends, that blessing wasn't just earthly blessing. Yes, the Lord supplies our need in our daily supplies. But dear friends, that blessing was the blessing of eternal life, deliverance from the power of Satan, from the power of sin. And therefore Satan would do his utmost to cause that promise to fail. Of Abraham's seed, of Isaac's seed, of Jacob's seed. Oh, we can have many examples of how these favoured children of God, a people he would form for his praise, a people whom he loved with an everlasting love. Jacob have I loved, Esau have I hated. Now when Satan sought Esau to slay Jacob, didn't he? But the power of the Lord was there to prevail, prevent that. And then we have, oh, as we come down to David, the promise of the coming of the seed of the woman would be in David's line. The covenant given unto David, that there should not cease to be a king upon the throne, and one who would be King forevermore, the coming of the Son of God, whom David called Lord, yes, in the flesh, who would be of the line of David. And Satan sought to destroy it. We have it, don't we, at the time of the kings, before the captivity, when Jehoshaphat, who was a good king, who feared God, his son Jehoram married the daughter of Ahab and Jezebel. And the Lord's wrath was upon Israel because they worshipped Baal. And he raised up Jehu to slay all those that worshipped Baal. Now Jehoram, the son of Ahab and Athaliah, who was the king of Judah, he was slain also. And Athaliah in her wickedness then slew her grandchildren, the royal seed, that there would be no continuing line of David for the coming of the Son of God. Oh, the promise of the Lord would be overcome. Satan is a mighty foe. But the Lord stirred up the heart of Athaliah's daughter, and she hid the youngest of Jehoram's sons, Joash. He was kept in the temple, hidden with Jehoiada the priest for 7 years, 6 years, until the seventh year. And then he was brought forth. He was the king of Judah. And Athaliah was slain. Oh, dear friends, how close things have come in the Holy Scriptures of the destroying by Satan of the Word of God. Oh, let us not undermine his power today. And we've read, haven't we, that account in the days of Esther, or the days of, or should I say, of Ahasuerus the king. Now, some say Ahasuerus the king was Darius. Some saying he was Darius' son, Xerxes. But he was given the name of Ahasuerus. And he had trouble in his family with his wife, and divorced, and sought another wife. And from all the virgins that were there in that time, which was the time of the post the captivity of Judah. Dear friends, all the times are in the Lord's hand, aren't they? Israel had sinned and had been dispersed. Israel was no longer there. Judah had sinned and been destroyed by Nebuchadnezzar, the king of Babylon, and that had become into captivity. And dear friends, it's in the time of that when there's chastisement of the people of God for their sins, that Satan will come in and try to do his utmost to overturn the promise and the word and the covenant of God. He did it too nationally to the Jews through which Christ would be born. Friends, at the time there of Darius, we find it was also the time of the building of the temple after Zerubbabel had returned. Some say it was Ahasuerus was Xerxes, which would have been 36 years later. But whenever it was, people had returned, but some remained in captivity, in the land of captivity. Mordecai amongst them. And this young lady, Esther, who was born there in that far off land from Judah. And she was chosen to be king, queen, the queen of the king, his wife. Oh, dear friend, what a mystery. Mordecai, who was responsible for her, let her be considered to be the queen of a heathen king. That wasn't in accordance with the law, was it? That a Jewess should be married to a heathen, even let alone a heathen king. You know, dear friends, when we read this book of Esther, we don't find the word God mentioned once, do we? We don't find the word Jehovah, which is translated Lord in our own Bible, mentioned once. We don't find the word prayer or praying mentioned once. The nearest we come is to fasting on that one occasion when Esther called for Mordecai and all those in Shushan to fast before she went in unto the king. But there's no doubt the hand of God, the mercy of God, the prevailing power of God was at that time for Haman. Satan entered into him to destroy all the Jews. And destroying all the Jews would have meant there'd be no coming of the seed of the woman. The seed of Abraham, Isaac and Jacob. The seed of David. Or how he attempted to overturn the will of God. But dear friends, he didn't, did he? You know that Haman, he was an Agagite. An Agagite was an Amalekite. God had said to King Saul earlier to slay all the Amalekites because they sought to destroy Israel when they came out of Egypt as they came towards Mount Sinai. And Saul said he did kill the Amalekites, but he saved Agag the king. And dear friends, he did not kill all the Amalekites. Because when David was fleeing from Saul and he was at Ziklag, Ziklag was destroyed by fire by the Amalekites. Saul did not obey the word of God. He was a liar. Agag the king, yes, he was slain by Samuel. But his family must have had a further existence, because Haman was an Agagite, a descendant of Agag, and he was a hater of the Jews. And when he found Mordecai would not bow down before him, he hated Mordecai and said he would destroy all his people. And so we read how Haman obtained the king's decree, even offering him money, that all this people, he didn't call them Jews, all this people which was not profitable to the king ought to be destroyed. So when the decree was made, Mordecai, as we read, rent his clothes mourning. And he said to Esther, when she wanted to know what it all was, whether she'd come to the kingdom for such a time as this. It wasn't Mordecai's choice, was it? It wasn't Esther's choice. It was the overruling hand of providence of God, who knows all things, who was preparing all things to overturn that dreadful will of Satan and his agent Haman. Dear friends, she had to go into the king in accordance with the request of Mordecai, to request that the Jews be saved, to overturn that decree, which couldn't be overturned in the days of the Persians. Once the king had issued a decree, nothing could overturn it. But she went in, yes. Through the hand of God, she found grace in the eyes of the king. He held out the golden scepter. He asked her what was her petition. And she was given grace and wisdom to know what to say and what to do. And as we read, the time came when it was pointed to the king that Haman wanted to destroy her own people, herself as well. And he was then hanged on the gallows he prepared for Mordecai. Oh, dear friends, God is the same. He changes not. He's still the same today. Oh, what does he say in Malachi? I am the Lord, I change not. Therefore, ye sons of Jacob are not consumed. They weren't consumed between the Old Testament and the New Testament, even though they had many enemies. And in the fullness of time, Christ came, born of the woman, born of Mary, to be the saviour of sinners, to save his people from their sins. Satan was there, wasn't he? Oh, he tempted the Lord Jesus Christ. Tempted for 40 days, 40 nights. And oh, dear friends, the temptation of Christ, when all the sins of his people were laid upon him, and that agony of death on the cross was before him, he knew what he had to suffer to destroy the power of Satan, to bruise Satan's head. Oh, Father, if it be possible, let this cup pass from me. But not my will, but thine be done. There was his power. Power to lay down his life. Yes, and then power to take it again. Oh, the Son of God. All power belongeth to him in heaven and in earth. Dear friends, how thankful we have to be for what Christ hath done. How is recorded in the scriptures that we have, that nothing can overturn, nothing can destroy the purpose of God in the gift of his Son to save his people from their sins. Satan hath no longer any claim to them, although he will endeavour to do so. But whatsoever things were written aforetime were written for our learning, that we through patience and comfort of the scriptures might have hope. Patience. Dear friends, when the Lord begins a good work in the heart of a sinner, dear friends, it becomes a time of great rejoicing when this blessing is imparted, the pardon of sins, the newness, the new birth. There's light, there's joy, there's liberty. God, who created the light to shine out of darkness, hath shined in our heart, as Paul said, to reveal the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. Now, dear friend, Satan will do his utmost to return that light into darkness. As I said earlier, going about, walking about like a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour. Oh, we read it, don't we? How he desired to have one and another. Did he not desire to have Peter? Satan hath desired to have you. Well, all the disciples, that's the plural. Satan hath desired to have you, to sift you as wheat. What's a sifting? It's a separating work, isn't it? And dear friends, Satan wanted to sift from those disciples their trust and faith in Christ Jesus. They were just left with their natural self in unbelief and sin. Always a mighty foe. But I have prayed for thee, says Jesus, that thy faith fail not. Now, dear friends, that's the source of our patience. Is faith in Jesus Christ. When we come into trying days, things come against us. We have days, don't we? Oh yeah, they are tribulations. In this world ye shall have tribulation. We shall have troubles. We shall have difficulties. We are the same as everyone else in our flesh. The experience of others is the experience of ourselves, of sorrows, disappointment, difficulties. And they become the trials of our faith. Oh, if you were the Lord's, these things wouldn't happen to you. He would he would prevent them coming to pass. Oh, dear friends, we have much sorrow, don't we, when loved ones are taken? Yes, but that's the word of God. It's appointed unto us all once to die. And after that, the judgment. Then we shall all die at times, but oh, in our aching hearts by nature. And the threatening sicknesses of death and even diseases which come. Friends, how we can easily give way to unbelief. Oh, if I was a child of God, surely this would not come to pass. If we were truly his people, surely he wouldn't let this happen. Oh, Satan, dear friends, how he can suggest those things to us. How often do we hear unbelievers say, well, if there was a God and he was a God of love, he wouldn't let this happen. Dear friends, the Lord is sovereign. The Lord brings to pass all that is in accordance with his eternal purpose. And we have need of patience. For what the Lord does, dear friends, is in accordance with his sovereign will, that Satan and all evil and sin shall be destroyed at the end of time. And those for whom Christ died shall be raised to live with him forevermore. That's the eternal purpose. And in between, dear friends, that we being born and us dying, oh, if we come to know that time of the new birth, that time within our hearts, which has changed our heart, renewed our will, turned our feet to Zion's hill, nothing can separate us from the love of God. Now remember that. Oh, nothing could destroy Satan, the Lord's people from Satan in the Old Testament, nor could it do so in the New. Oh, we think of the Apostle Paul, Saul of Tarsus, called by the grace of God out of his dreadful state of unbelief, trusting in his own righteousness, content that he was a child of God. Oh, but when the Lord revealed to him the law, in its spiritual sense, he said, sin revived and I died. He was a sinner. And all that he trusted in became but dung. He became a changed one, and the Lord gave him that commission to go unto the Gentiles and preach the unsearchable riches of Christ which had been revealed to himself. But all the opposition he received, all the threatenings, the imprisonments, the beatings, shipwrecks, the nakedness, the hunger, the thirst he had in his journeys. We don't read them all in detail. But, dear friends, through the power of the Lord, the Lord's grace, he proved it was sufficient for him. Satan, oh, was a mighty foe to Paul, wasn't he? Satan was that thorn in the flesh to seek to destroy his faith by lies, no doubt pointing to what he once was. Oh, the chief of sinners. Oh, yes, the Lord is using you now, Paul, but oh, your own soul, it's too great to enter into the kingdom of heaven. But the Lord strengthened him. My grace is sufficient for thee. That was his patience. By the grace of God, I am what I am. I've learned in whatever state I am, therewith to be content. I've learned how to abound. I've learned how to suffer need. I can do all things through Christ, which strengtheneth me. Now, dear friends, that's the Lord's work. It's his work today, as it was in the days of the early church, as it was in the days of the Old Testament. The Lord changes not. Christ changes not. You say, oh, today, why are the Jews so persecuted still? So many enemies rise up to destroy the Jews. Well, dear friends, if they were destroyed, then that last word in Malachi would be null and void, wouldn't it? I am the Lord, I change not. Therefore, ye sons of Jacob are not consumed, they are not consumed. Oh, well, we see the evidence of the power of God, mysterious though that it is, concerning his people. And if for the Jews, how much more for the Church of Christ? Dear friends, we have many enemies today, don't we? Oh, the enemies of the Christian faith in this favoured land. It seems to rise up increasingly. Have faith in God. Oh, endure with patience. Praying always. Committing our ways and our concerns unto him. For whatsoever things were written aforetime were written for our learning, that we through patience and comfort of the scriptures might have hope. Evil will not destroy the Church of Christ. Dear friends, it will exist until the last day when Christ comes again to receive his own unto himself. The promise he has given, I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go to prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto mine own self. Oh, and Satan then will be destroyed. And all those unbelievers, all those who he has deceived, will shall go with him into that lake of fire. Except those whose names are found written in the book of life. Oh, dear friends, there's our hope, isn't it? That comfort through the scriptures might have hope. And that hope, as we know, means expectation. It's not a vain hope. It's a sure and certain hope that he will maintain that love within us. He will never leave us nor forsake us. All the promises are yea and amen in Christ Jesus. And I will raise them up, says Jesus, at the last day. And they shall be with me in glory. Oh, dear friends, when you're tried and tempted, when everything seems to be against you, when Satan seems to suggest, oh, that God is not gracious, when his love has departed from you, when he has abandoned you on account of your sins, your iniquities, and whatever, think upon these things. Turn to the scriptures. Read in there the evidences and the accounts which are given. Satan never gains the victory, does he? Our victory is in Christ Jesus, the Saviour of our souls, that one day we shall live with him forevermore. All these things work together for good. Maybe not an immediate good, not a providential good, but, dear friends, they'll work together for good in time, to the salvation of your soul, where you've been kept by through faith, by the power of God, unto salvation, ready to be revealed in that last time. Until then, have patience, have hope, trusting in the Lord at all times, pouring out your heart before him. He is a refuge, and those walls of salvation can never be broken down. You're safe in those arms of Jesus. For whatsoever things are written aforetime were written for our learning, that we through patience and comfort of the scriptures might have hope. Amen.